You are listening to NeuroDivergent X.
Hope you like it weird.
Yes, we are. Well, this is a new adventure. Happy to have you all tune in to Nerdle Divergent
X.
That's right. All of the two listeners out there that are going to be checking this out.
And that's us.
I mean, dedicated fan. Yeah, it'll be us just listening to our playback. But hey, I go for the quality fans rather than the quantity. If you're dedicated listeners, there's only two or three of you. Happy to have you.
On that note, what is Nerdle Divergent X?
So this show, I guess we can kind of just go start by explaining the name of the program. So Neurodivergent, and we've changed it to Nerdodivergent. So we're calling it it's kind of a Neurodivergent podcast because myself and Raz are neurodivergent individuals. I was recently diagnosed with ADHD, inattentive ADHD. So it kind of took me a long time to sort out what was going on. I knew I was a different sort of learner and different sort of thinker. Raz also deals with a few issues. You know, we both have working memory impairments.
So we've overcome a few obstacles.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like the ADD, that would be what I have, but it's called ADHD inattentive type, right? Because it's not the hyperactivity. Yeah. Well, kind of the same thing going on. And it's funny that you talk about, comprehension and learning, because Raz and I never actually attended school together. You know, we ended up going to the same high school growing up, but, you know, didn't take classes or anything together. But it was interesting. Once we got into university and I started taking a few psychology classes in undergrad, we actually got to go to school together, sit in class together. It was kind of surreal, like growing up, and then finally
it was neuropsychology, right?
And it was
of all
and
classes.
Then, of course, we'd get together for study sessions in the library, and like I probably the least productive study sessions ever. It was just us like eating food, going to get more coffee, farting,
making fun of people. We're real pieces of shit.
But in reality, we're two individuals who have done a lot. You know, being dealt the hand that we were, just kind of realizing that, I'll speak for myself, but realizing I learned differently from other individuals, and I had to kind of sometimes take my education into my own hands. You know, whether it was like not learning, not going to all the lectures and learning, and just learning more from reading textbooks or just doing things at my own pace. You know, our study groups didn't work for me because there was too many distractions, and I just need to learn my own way. So,
and also we're like individuals that are self-advocates in a ways. We've always talked about mental health or just the, you know, physical well-being, and we're really self-reflective. We're very analytical individuals, and we're also open to like self-criticism, because I think one of the things that kind of pushed me into like helping myself and like getting diagnosed and finding steps to kind of help myself in my journey in my life, it was actually a professor in religious studies, and I was struggling in my first few years in university, and it was an emotional roller coaster. And I remember I wrote an exam, I put all the effort into doing it, but the result was not what I liked. So I was talking to the professor, and we're talking and we're going back and forth on concepts in religion, and he's like, you know, I'm looking at your test and your paper, and then I'm talking to you. It's like I'm talking to two. Basically, one is a
dum-dum,
and the other one is kind of an analytical. And he's like, have you ever thought about, like, you know, going and seeing maybe a professional and getting diagnosed for maybe ADHD or some type of cognitive impairment? And that kind of was like the catalyst for my journey. And also, I had a friend. We both have a mutual friend. We'll refer to him as Coach or Big Kahuna. And he he kind of went down the same road. And he kind of actually you know, told me the steps he took to help him because he struggled with learning and comprehension and speaking and all that. So when you listen to us podcast, a lot of stuff we're going to talk about, fun, serious, is going to tie back to our own life experiences.
Yeah. And it, I kind of wish I would have had that push in the direction that that Razzle Dazzle did here. Because he did, you know, the accommodations you had in university were awesome, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think you had access to note takers, private rooms for writing your exams, you know, where there's very little distractions. And mm-hmm. yeah, I, like myself, I made it through university and grad school, just kind of white knuckling it. But yeah, since I've been in my career, I've, you know, had my diagnosis and, you know, through kind of lifestyle changes, diet changes, some medication, I've like kind of really got a handle on things, and I've seen the benefits of all of the above. So yeah, kind of, I wish I would have discovered it, and you know, when I was still in school, but I made it through. I think it's never too late to do some self-exploration for sure.
To boldly go where no one has gone before.
So we changed the neuro to nerdo. For the simple reason, I think both Raz and I are just kind of big nerds at heart. We have our goofy little interests. We always kind of have. We've always been kind of just different individuals. Cool guys in our own right, but fucking nerds in others.
Yeah. And to give you guys a little bit of more context, DB and I, we're not just like really good friends. Like, our moms were best friends, were pregnant at the same time with us. We were hanging out in our mom's wombs together before, you know, even before we were born. So like, with a long history, it's kind of awesome doing this podcast with DB, and it's also like seeing his journey going through his, like, his, you know, self-discoveries, but also like, I could tell you like some of the nerd stuff that we did is like, I think a lot of people listening to this podcast are really going to relate to that, because not only we're lifetime friends, but we're product of the 80s and 90s. So I'm sure we're going to infuse a lot of our like nostalgia and just our own lives growing up together and the stuff that we're interested into.
Oh, we're going to share a few stories of, especially, you know, in the 80s, early 90s, having to make your own fun. We had to get pretty creative. And I think a couple of those stories would be pretty entertaining for you all.
Hopefully over time people will want to share their own and get interactive with us, because I really think the Nerdle Diversion X is going to be something different. But again, I might be biased because, you know, I'm doing it alongside someone I know who's super creative and, you know, kind of a piece of shit like myself.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. What we were going to talk about though is just to give you an idea of some of the, these are more like interests that we tend not to divulge with other people, right? Like, they're mm-hmm. kind of things that are almost like embarrassing that you're interested, but you don't really share with other people. That's kind of, how did we describe it?
It'd be like something like you really got into or did, but not many people know you did it. So I guess I'll start with, like, really lately in the last few years, I've really got into breakdancing. Now, I don't breakdance myself, but I watch it. But
I still laugh when I hear him.
But it's, yeah. Awesome. It's just like, because DB has known me forever. And throughout our life, he's never probably have heard me talk about breakdancing or have any inclination that I was interested in it. But the last few years, I, for whatever reason... But it's not just breakdancing, I mean, all across the board. It's Japanese breakdancing. And that's all I watch is Japanese breakdancing. No other breakdancing. So
it's more of a fetish then.
It doesn't sound good when you say it out loud. But and why I really like it is that I think I'm pretty drawn personally to Japanese culture and society. It's different, obviously, and then I've had a pretty good friend in university who is from Japan, and he was very proper, really nice, well-spoken, humble. So when I kind of see these Japanese breakdancers, seeing them kind of like, you know, their antics and their energy and like their athleticism, and just seeing how they've taken like, you know, breakdancing from America and incorporated it into their culture, it just mesmerized me. And like, it's really big there. And like the YouTubes, like you could go down the rabbit hole. And I really like the female breakdancers because they're really good. Like they can hold their own with the men.
imagining, like I you know, I've seen some pretty stellar breakdancing, but what I'm picturing though, like I just, when I think about like, you know, Japanese people say who are like amazing with martial arts and like just kind of acrobatic type stuff, I'm just picturing like there's, you know, they're so nimble and like coordinated and they move so fluently. Like I'm just picturing them bringing breakdancing to a whole new level, like a whole new tier is kind of what I'm imagining.
But it seems like it's quite big in like a lot of these other countries because they're filling up stadiums and they're playing these shows and the choreography of them, their movements, like to move the body like that. And a lot of them are not young. Like there's this one Japanese breakdancer. Hey, right. He's like in his 40s. And he moves like a 20-year-old. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And it's it's hard on your bones, your joints and that. And, you know, like doing the spins and the stands and whatnot. Like that grinds away at your bones for sure.
I actually developed crushes on some of the female ones. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
And I follow them on Instagram. And the thing is, what I like about them is that they're very classy because they don't dress scantily. They're not trying to objectify themselves. They're very athletic and they're humble and they're sweet. And I find that it's really intoxicating for me.
Yeah. It's interesting. You say that because like IG models are a dime a dozen, right? And none of them really stand out to you. But if you find someone who's like talented or has charisma or also I think just has that like work ethic to like really develop mastery of something, I think that will get you. Yeah, that would give you a crush on someone or like really get you infatuated with them, you know, rather than like, hey, I'm hot. You know, like,
yeah,
I understand that
it's really refreshing. And I don't know if it's just that because we live in the land of self-gratification. And I know self-gratification like on internet is basically has been globalized. So it's kind of nice to see like because even if you see like female athletes, like there's female athletes like in UFC, like the MMA fighters were. Even in sports, they actually really glamorize themselves in really kind of scantless sexual ways. And so what I find with these the Japanese, especially breakdancing athletes, is that they tend to be very modest. So what interests are you kind of into, maybe past, present, or whatever?
Right. Yeah, right now I don't know if there's anything. The interesting thing about you know, as I've learned more about individuals with ADHD is we'll have get really passionate about things, you know, we'll have like a hyper focus on an interest for a while and then it kind of wanes and then like and that's me 100%, you know, like I especially over the pandemic got really into acrylic paint pouring and I was like every week I was going out and buying more canvases and pouring medium and acrylics and that and yeah I just and now it's god it's been over a year since I've even touched that shit, you know, and my wife still does it once in a while, but yeah, so that was a thing. I think one of my interests, and you might kind of know that I was into this, but like I didn't share it with anyone because no one else is really as interested in it with me. And I don't know why it is, but I've always been interested or drawn to like scents, like fragrances and that. I don't
doesn't
know what it
surprise
is
me.
Like when I go into... it's funny, like if I go into a hotel or something, I like go into the bathroom and like use the bathroom. Then I'm like, I like smell the soaps and shit. Like, I don't know what it is. I always want to smell things and see how good they smell.
Well, did you know that Kahuna and I, we used to, when you weren't around, we referred to you as like Scooby-Doo because your awareness to scents and to like smells and stuff, you were very like, you have a heightened kind of, I always thought, because you'd be like, like we'd bug you, but you would kind of like certain fragrances, you were very, you seem to have a little more of like attunement to it and appreciation to things that smell good or distinct.
Yeah, I think so. So then, God, I don't know when this started. I'm not really into it anymore, but like, so over, last few years, like it's been since I've been here, where I'm living now and at this job, but I've been into like colognes, like fragrances and that. And like, I don't know why, but somehow I discovered Like, I think it started, I was like, I want to get like a new cologne, like a new fragrance. I just want to get something new. I don't know if it's because I had a cologne I really liked, and I think they stopped making it. I think that's why. And then I discovered like all these YouTubers that do fragrance videos what do they call it? Like fragcom.
Fragorock.
And I'm like, I didn't realize. And I'm like, this is stupid. But then I couldn't stop watching. Then they'd have like top 10 videos, you know, about, like they have different categories, like top 10 night out fragrances, top 10 day fragrances, summer fragrance, because there's all these differences. Like you're supposed to wear these like lighter kind of citrusy fragrances in the summer. And then in the winter you wear like more pungent, like woody and sweet type fragrances. Hey, and I'm like, well, that makes sense. Hey, because those kind of push through the cold. It's crazy, man. And I got so into it, and I'd like follow these YouTubers. And then there's this one guy, he got fucking crazy. Like, I can't watch him anymore. He is like, German dude. I'll tell you kind of where he started first. Like, at first he was, he's a German guy, and he was hilarious. I almost just told you to watch his videos because he was just this like goofy, like, kind of, I think he did some like male modeling, like very handsome dude, very fit, but just hilarious, the stupid shit he would say. But he would just have hot girls, like the hottest girls in, and they would smell different fragrances in whatever category and like rate the best ones and talk about them. And like, I would just watch all these videos and I'd be like, because I'd be like, oh, well, if they like it, it must be a good cologne or whatever. Hey, and he'd have videos like that, or like when new ones would come out, he'd review them. And a lot of other YouTubers do that kind of shit. But yeah, he got to the point where he was just like, well, first of all, he was talking about God a lot. And but he was also just saying crazy shit, like obviously like just coked out and like just not making sense, man. And just like getting very, like very egocentric and very like I couldn't handle him anymore. It's too bad because he was initially just a very entertaining kind of idiot dude, German. Like he was funny. Yeah. And like
the Germans.
So I've bought like a few fragrances or colognes here and there, but like I really got into like, I'd go out and I'd get samples and like smelling all these ones I'd see online and just see if I like them. And my wife, like, she's like, you know, cause she's like, you're like obsessed with these. And she's like, and she bugged me about it. I'm like, hey, like, I feel like out of, you know, a lot of, habits I could have or like things I could be interested into, this is a pretty good one. I'm like, I'm obsessed with smelling good, you know, like I'm not fucking snorting coke or picking up hookers or whatever, you know, like I feel like this is a pretty safe hobby. Benefits both of us.
This doesn't surprise me that you'd be into this because you've always been an individual that appreciated like smelling good and odors and like body odors, like BO or urine kind of smell. Those will drive me up the wall. I lose my shit. So I appreciate an individual like yourself that, you know, takes pride in smelling good, which is kind of funny, but it's also kind of like something that you kind of kept to yourself because maybe that also with just kind of like social norms as far as like dudes, society appreciates dudes like looking good and prim and proper. But if you take too much, like in the way the sense of you're overdoing it, it tends to kind of, you know, mock a dude that, you know, really takes care of how he looks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's totally why, because it goes against typical like masculinity, right? Worrying about what you look like and smell like. And I think that has something to do with it. It was so funny, man. This one time though, I actually ran into, I was just in the stores, like smelling some fragrances. And then I just happened to get into a conversation with a dude and we kind of figured out that we both were kind of like frag heads, like into fragrances. And then we were like slowly kind of just having the conversation about different clones. And like, oh, I'm like, I kind of figured it out. I was like, so which YouTubers do you follow? Hey, he's just like, oh yeah, what's his name's pretty good or whatever. And it was just funny to meet another individual who's actually into that shit. So
And I think that's the thing about these hidden interests I think most people have. You kind of keep it to yourself because you kind of don't think too many people are in it.
I don't know what it is, but like, it's also nice just like, you know, you go in and greet someone, you maybe give them a hug or whatever. It's just nice to hear like, oh, you smell good. You know, like It's nice to get that little compliment too, I find. It's a little boost.
Especially from girls. If you smell good, there's something. Because
like, you know what? Even from guys, I don't mind it. Our buddy there, Snipers, he's always a guy that would, you'd always compliment me if I was wearing a nice cologne or whatever. Oh, you smell amazing, DB, you know?
Yeah.
Ha! Gay!
Yeah, it's still nice to hear from anyone.
Well, Snipers, knowing him, he probably would appreciate that because he always kind of smells good, looks good and stuff. So it's... Mm-hmm. No, I think dudes appreciate it. And I know as a dude, like, I really appreciate when a woman smells really nice. You know,
that so too, yeah. Yeah, smell will kind of, I think, in both sexes, if someone smells good, it just ups them. You know, you can go from like a, you know, from like a 6 to an 8 if she smells amazing. I don't know what it is. It just fools your brain, right?
Yeah.
There's a really nice fragrance. It just puts your brain in like a better frame of mind. You're happier. You're more drawn in, I guess.
It kind of lures you in, and you kind of want to, like, especially like, you know, if it's someone you're kind of attracted to, it's kind of a little more likely you, like, if she smells really, just kind of want to get closer to her and kind of inhale that.
That just brought something to mind. A few years ago, we went to Jamaica for a little winter getaway with another couple, and the thing I noticed at the resort, like, all of the workers and so, like, there was also some of them are like just quite attractive, just individuals to begin with, but everyone smelled really good. It was weird, and like, my wife noticed the same thing. Guys and girls, like, the workers, they walk by, like, they just had like amazing perfume or cologne. It's funny, just that little extra something, you know, at any place like this resort, but it kind of leaves that much more of like a positive impression on you. You know, rather like, say, if you went to some kind of hole in the wall resort and all the workers are sweaty and BO and that, you know, like, it does detract from your experience, I think.
Well, yeah, because like, who wants to like smell someone or even go to a resort when it smells like their workers took 5 steamy shits just before you were interacting with them?
and
it's something like you said, like, when a person smells nice, it right away you're like, well, this person has good hygiene.
Yeah, you're like, this person is clean, right?
Like, chances are, if they smell good, if you went to their place, they probably maybe most likely take care of their house.
I thought for sure you're gonna go right to the ass eating again.
No.
No, for sure you go to their place, their ass is fucking immaculate.
that's an indicator. If she smells really nice when you first meet her, you know whether or not you're going to eat her ass out.
Yeah, that's probably what people are thinking about me every day.
I think the takeaway from this podcast, people are like, oh, so those guys like eating ass. Yeah,
they should especially call them fucking asso-divergent.
Yeah, asshole divergent. Okay, well, I think what another interest I was in, this is more of like as a kid, and it's not as like, I think, as obscure as the ones we kind of just listed, but I've always felt kind of embarrassed that I was into this. Like, not when I was a young kid, because I think when we were a young kid, most kids were, but when I got to pubescent and kind of an adult, like high school, I didn't want anyone to know I was like into it. So it would be like my own little closet. You know, I didn't even want my family to know I was into it for whatever reason. I was always into wrestling, you know this, and you were kind of into it for, you know, because we grew up in the era with Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah!
And what you gonna do when Hulkamania and the largest arms in the world run wild on you?
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, and I think was one interest that, like, I kind of fell out of love with, but you kind of continued to still be interested in it.
Yeah, it was like one of those ones, because like, you even like humored me and came in 94 when they came to our hometown to go watch an event, and like, we had fun.
Oh, and I'm glad I did. That was that was cool to do. Like,
but you fell out of it really, like, early, and I kind of kept, but I kind of still, and I didn't have anyone to like talk to it about. And I know you knew I still watched it, but like, you know, I kind of kept it. But yeah, I was like, for like the longest time, I would secretly would watch wrestling and be into it. And but I was almost at the point where I was like very embarrassed, because I'm like, it's not cool, especially when you become kind of a teenager, and that you're like, I don't want anyone to know, and especially girls know. Because like you and I would talk about my love for Star Wars. I didn't care if it was a woman I was interested in. I'd always throw Star Wars, but I would never admit that I was into, you know, wrestling. You know, that was never something that I would ever bring up or, you know, even divulge, because I was just like, nah, it's not cool. Behind the scenes, I still really enjoyed it and ate it up, and I watched like every Raw WCW Nitro.
I think another thing that probably drew you to it is I know you have like a soft spot for like real pieces of shit. Yeah. And I feel like there's probably a lot of personalities there. Like when they do their fucking monologues and they're yapping, yeah, like I bet you just fucking loved that.
Well, to go back and listen to them now, like you can actually see there's a compilation on YouTube where it's like wrestling interviews out of context, and it sounds like it's very homoerotic, because a lot of it's like, I'm going to come and give it to you.
I'm coming for you, boy. And I'm coming hard.
I don't care. You come in my face.
Brutus, this is incredible. What a package.
After I beat you and satisfy all the Hulkamaniacs, I'm going to get off by cranking your knob just a little beyond the breaking point.
Because I'm going to stretch his ass like it's never been stretched before.
When I get my hands on you, I'm going to eat your ass like a pot of collard greens, baby.
I started out fighting in this barn when I was a little boy, and I don't care if my last fight is in this barn. Touch me in a personal way you never touched me before.
Then you step up, and if you don't think I'm big enough, brother, then you grab a hold of me. And you'll know that I'm growing, my man. Within your hands, I will get as big as I need to be, as big as I need to be to do the job on you.
Now, Tully Blanchard, I want you, and I'm going to get you. I'm going to have you. I'm going to get to touch your body.
There's one part of our bodies that's soft, and it ain't soft all the time if you catch my meaning. You're going to find out what hard is all about.
When I was tasting you, brother, I found you to be not so bad at all.
You can't run and hide from me anymore. And when we come to Philadelphia this time, there's going to be no mistaking what's going to happen. I'm going to come on you like nobody's ever come on you before.
And like how coked up it was. And then if you actually like look into the history of like of wrestling and how crazy of a lifestyle it was, like those guys were coked up, drugged up, crazy people. It was because it was like for guys, it was like a soap opera versus like, you know, women had their Young and the Restless and all that goofy shit. But we had wrestling. But it's weird. So many guys, like as you got older, were into sports, and I was into that too, but I was into wrestling, and I, you know, I didn't want anyone to know, because like I'd be watching it, if my like even my dad came downstairs, I would turn the channel right away, because I didn't want to know.
It's like they caught you watching porn or something.
Yeah, it's like he's watching porn. He's like, whoa, what you watching there, Rads? Oh, nothing, porn.
That would, yeah, be you my... switched to porn.
Yeah, I switched to porn.
This is more believable. I'm just watching tits.
Yeah, he's like, okay, that's okay. He likes, you know, because the dads, if it's a porn,
daddy he could understand, right?
He can understand, but a bunch of guys wearing tights and baby oil.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah, I think that's, yeah. What's up with my son? He likes these guys in Speedos getting oiled up and sliding on each other. I wonder if it's even like specifically the interest in wrestling, like WWE. I wonder if it's a common thing that more adults are interested in than we know and are afraid to admit, just because I had a coworker, and she's, you know, professional individual with husband, children, and like very, like nothing, you know, just very straight laced, kind of like pleasant, but you know, not, like someone you could be friends with too, like not like she's a square, but just your average person, you know, like I nothing, you wouldn't suspect anything about her. And I found out that she was a closet, like WWE freak, like just, oh. And when they came to town here and she got to meet, I don't know who they are these days, but like, you know, got to take a picture with this guy, met him, like she was like starstruck, you know, she was just like giddy. Awesome. And like, yeah. I had no idea she was into wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, it blew my mind, man. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it is even more common than you think. Like, I bet there's probably a lot of other adults in the same boat, because there's something, I understand the draw. Like, it is the action and excitement around it, but it's also like a drama, right? Like, it's kind of like a soap opera, the way it unfolds, right?
It kind of is. And like, now kind of reflecting at it at this point in like my life, it's weird. Like, I understand why wouldn't people like it? And especially women, because it's like muscled up men looking good. Like, remember Ric Flair? He was like styling, profiling, Space Mountain, 60 Minute Men. And like, you'd hear all these stories that they had a lot of like ring rats, okay, they would call them. So wow. Women, like a lot of the wrestlers would have women that like they come to town, they, you know, be someone that they would sleep with. So women were really big fans of not just to sleep with them, but why wouldn't they be into, you get to see, you know, really buff dudes wearing, you know, basically
minimal clothing.
And you get to look at their package and stuff.
Like, rocking women, the moose knuckle, yeah.
Why wouldn't a woman be really into that? I think wrestling now, because it got really mainstream with Stone Cold and all that, WrestleMania is still a very big event, and it's still like, you hear about it in the news, and like if you watch like even Sports Network or anything like that, they always advertise like the big event. So it is in the sphere. But I think just at a point when you're a young person and you're trying to fit in groups and find yourself and you want to seem cool, at the time I think I just didn't want anyone to know that, which is weird in hindsight.
Totally understandable, dude. Yeah.
And it's weird to me, because typically I don't give a shit what people think. Like, I never really care, because I've always, you know me, I've always done things really not for people's like acceptance or stuff. I don't care what people think. For some reason,
I think that too. Yeah. I think you live really authentically. I would say that.
But not as much, I guess, because of the wrestling. But it was at a certain point, met, you know, Burger BK guy, you know, a buddy we went to school with. Him and there was a group of guys, they were into wrestling. So I did get to kind of, you know, divulge in that, and we'd always meet up, and it was kind of funny. We'd meet up, we'd watch wrestling pay-per-views, but before we'd watch the pay-per-views, we'd watch porn. We'd drink beer, watch porn, then watch the pay-per-view, and then...
interesting mix, man. Wow. Jeez. It's a lot to get my head around there.
Yeah. You know, and you know the guys, you know, you're friends with them too. They're pieces of shit. And that was their thing. They would like, because they were like, I didn't know they were into that. And one guy's, yeah, we've always been into it. Not many people know. You should come over. We'll drink some beer, watch some porn.
Watch some porn.
And watch pay-per-view.
And then you gotta get rock hard. You gotta get rock hard before you watch WWE, you know?
Yeah, get your testosterone levels real high.
BK rules.
That doesn't surprise me. Those are the same guys that we played Star Wars Trivia Pursuit with that one night. So,
yeah, that was the Battle of the Titans.
Oh, boy. I think about these days, there's a lot more female wrestlers. And same thing. I very fit, beautiful women wearing minimal clothing. So I think that's also a big draw these days for viewing, right?
They're really good athletes now, because like there was, when we grew up there was women wrestling and it was pretty good. But to see actually the women now is really taking center stage, and their athleticism and the way they tell a wrestling story. Like, well, Ric Flair's daughter is like one of the best wrestlers there. And actually, like, I don't watch wrestling anymore, current stuff, because in the podcast world, I do listen to a wrestling podcast, and it still kind of keeps me up to date what's happening in the wrestling world. So I don't have to watch wrestling.
Oh, that's good. But if we go back, I think definitely. So back in the day, I was a huge, like when I was a little kid, my first like interest or obsession was with Michael Jackson. I was really, really into his music. Hey, like there was the Thriller album, and then I got Bad. And so me and Razzle Dazzle used to get together in my basement and just pump it through the big stereo, and we would run around. I used to have like a little trampoline in my basement. We'd jump off of that. We had a pool table. We'd just tear around. We'd dance and sing into a hairbrush or whatever fake microphones we had. So like, I was so into Michael Jackson. I'd like watch the videos. And I think my dad was a little concerned about how much I liked Michael Jackson. He was just worried that I was going to be like
light in the loafers
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause your dad's
man. Like, I went so far as to, like, I got my mom to, like, make me a sequin glove. Because like she was quite a seamstress. She would make me some amazing Halloween costumes, right? She made me like a God. What did she make me? She had made me like Superman, Darth Vader, Batman, E.T. Like she was super talented, but. Yeah, and I really wanted a sequin glove, so she made me, I think she might have made me a couple of them. But yeah, and I remember I also had this jacket, like from, there's that red pleather jacket, like from the, what video is that?
Beat It.
Yeah.
Because he had the red one, well, and he wore the blue shirt. He had the red one.
No, I think it was the one from Thriller. Yeah, I think it was a Thriller jacket.
Oh,
he did. And I also had a vest that I called my Michael Jackson vest because it had this like sheer material kind of on the shoulders. And
you always had the Michael Jackson poster. And didn't you have in your room the one from Thriller? There's like a big poster. Didn't you have that?
Maybe. Yeah, up until, I don't know how long that lasted. Probably up until, what was that album with Black and White in that?
He had with the eyes, and it looked like it was at a carnival and his eyes were sticking out of the sockets or whatever.
I think up until probably there, I was a huge fan, but like, yeah, probably when I was a kid, I could have ended up being like molested on his tour or something if I would have met him.
Well, you definitely would have went to, he probably would have took you to Wonderland and you would have had a sleepover.
We would have been having sleepovers all the time.
Yeah, like he definitely would have moonwalked with you.
But yeah, that was definitely one of my, because I don't know, like you were probably in, I don't know how into it you were, but like you definitely humored me and we'd rock out to Michael Jackson, but I think I was a little overly into him for
anyone that saw us in real life, like there's a little bit of discrepancy in like height, a little bit of size difference. I'm a big burly guy and you're, you know, kind of like a wiry guy. So like you could move like Michael Jackson, but me being kind of a little tubby shit, I couldn't do the moves. Kind of, I tried, but I was, you know.
Yeah, especially when we were little, hey, it was quite a size difference.
And I'm being hyperbolic about it. Like I wasn't that big of a guy, but in my own mind, I thought it was. But anyways, I enjoyed Michael Jackson, but I don't think I was obsessed with Mike. I was more obsessed with Superman in those days than Michael Jackson. I have another thing that I was really into, and I was really young at the time, and it's something I don't even think you know about it. I was really into the Orphan Annie story. The show with the redhead and all that. And then,
right. And Daddy Warbucks.
Keep in mind, this is in the 80s. I was so into it that I got my mom to buy me Annie doll. And if you know the dynamics between boys and girls at that time, you wouldn't buy a girl doll for your son. It just wasn't really a common practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most boys are like He-Man, Superman, G.I. Joe, Hot Wheels, but I was so obsessed with Annie for a short period of time that I had to have an Annie doll. And having a conversation with my mom was a little bit concerned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at first, because you know what I mean? But I was really into Annie. And there is actually, my parents have a picture of me with an Annie doll. So there is evidence. Yeah, it was weird. I was so into it as a little kid thing. It was just like a short spurt as a child because, you know, we had E.T., Star Wars, all these kids movies. But because I don't think you watched Annie, but I don't think you were into it like me.
I do remember watching it quite a few times, though. It was probably the same version of it. And I don't know if it was because I was into it or my sister was, because I do have an older sister. She might have been watching it and I just watched it with her.
The difference is that I had an older brother who he would not be into Annie.
No. No, you would not. But that's awesome. I didn't really know. I don't even know if I knew that you had that doll, man. Like you might have even kept that for me. I didn't know that you were that into it.
Yeah, that might have fell into the toilet too. So it's possible that the doll. But yeah, there's a picture I remember. And mom would say, "I just for some reason you had to have an Annie doll," and I was like, "Well, my little Raz wants Annie doll, so we'll get him an Annie doll." So kudos to my mom for her to like, you know what, I'm gonna buy it. I don't care. My son is really into this. he's adamant about it. What could it hurt? And it didn't really hurt anything. Like, I mean, I'm still, you know, a piece of shit.
And you've always been, and you still are, a guy who likes, who appreciates like collectibles and stuff, right? Mm.
Yeah, like,
you
know, I like still...
you're into a movie. You're a guy that'll buy books, and you'll buy the the models and toys and stuff, and like so it doesn't surprise me that if you're into Annie, well, fuck, of course you're gonna get an Annie doll. It's just like any other movie you're really into, right?
We're both into movies, but I would say growing up I was more fascinated, and you were more fascinated in music. Like, I think that's where a little bit of our difference is that we appreciate music and movies, but I was more obsessed with movies and movie making. Like, I doubt you bought a movie and like really wanted to listen to the audio commentary of the movie or watch the making of it, where myself I would specifically buy because I love the behind the scenes, how they made the movies and stuff. So that's, I was very obsessed with that, and I'm still, to this day, I'll buy physical copies because I think that's a dying kind of product out there, and there's just something
I would have. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's also the same way that you watch a movie and you can talk about it and dissect it in a way that I probably couldn't, or maybe I don't necessarily think about it as deeply as you, right? Like, I view movies, I know what I like and what I don't, you know, if I enjoy it or not, but I don't know if I get down to the deep minutiae that you do. And it's probably the same with music, right? Like, I'll listen to something and I could probably like articulate what I like about it and what I don't, you know, like sometimes, you know, that's, I listen to a song, something will come up on Spotify, and I like something about it. Like, I don't necessarily like the song, but there's something in it that, like, I want to listen to again and maybe listen to another song by that artist. And maybe it'll more kind of scratch my itch of being a song that I entirely like. But yeah, I think, because, like, I find with music, I want to know more about, like, how they kind of came up with ideas for the songs. And, like, sometimes I find it just interesting to learn where they recorded, because, like, a lot of artists will, you know, rent a specific property just to kind of provide an overall mood and like theme for recording the song. You know, like, I know bands like Nine Inch Nails, they'll like rent like pretty obscure, random, like, I think they're the band that I think they rented the fucking, like the Sharon Tate Murder House. Oh, I think that's neat. Where they recorded Downward Spiral.
That's kind of,
but just shit like that, you know, like stuff I wouldn't think of. But now, because we just had one option, this little room, very similar to what you see behind me, to record our stuff. But then I started thinking more about like I think about like my in-law's cabin, the main room, like there's a kind of like a, it's like a big high ceiling log cabin, and there's a loft up top there. But I was just thinking about that main area would be such a nice like ambiance if you could set it up and get the right acoustics for recording. Like, I just feel like it would be a very like relaxing, nice creative space. And so I think about things like that when it comes to music. You kind of hit the nail on the head there. Like, we're both definitely interested in films and music, but I do kind of think we kind of gravitate towards opposite.
I could tell you obscure stuff about like George Lucas's life or the making of it, and this is something you would never think of. Like, I'm like, well, actually, he financed that in Elstree Studios in England. You're like, okay, a studio is a studio where they film. I don't really care where they film. For me, I'm like, well, you know, that's, you know, by, you know, so like I worry about that, where they film it and the locations and the artistry that goes into it. Because I think one common thing we were, as kids, we used to draw a lot. Now, I would obviously defer to you. You're probably the more advanced artist because you painted, you even almost an undergraduate in fine art or
fine art, studio
art. Yeah, fine art, studio art. We're artistic, we're visual kind of people. And I think that's because we're creative in our own ways, but then we can kind of come together and we can feed off of each other.
That might be another thing worth sharing is, well, I mean, you and I, for being at times very rowdy, very destructive, like shit got broken. If you and I were playing, like, boy, we were all out boys, you know, like, we, especially like for being, like you said, I'm a smaller dude, but I just break shit, man. I just do. Like, I am a fucking rammy, destructive guy. But the interesting thing is like how we are both into fine art, and we were both really into drawing, into sketching as kids, you know, like as rowdy as we were when you and I, we'd get together, we'd maybe put on some music and just chill out in like the bedroom and grab a couple of sketch pads. And like, we would just draw for hours, you know, like, and we would be go over and check out what the other guy was doing, be like, oh yeah, that's cool, man. Like, and then, you know, like just kind of give each other ideas about things and feedback and just spend hours, you know? And I don't think that's a very common thing for a couple of like young boys to do. And that lasted for years. You know, we would get together and be like, hey, you want to just draw? And be like, yeah, fucking yeah.
We're different in so many ways, and I see the differences, but it seems like there's like a calming effect. Like say when I'm hang out with you, I talk to you, or I do activity as a friend, I don't know, it's like almost, I don't know if it's a yin and a yang, but I find being in your presence as a friend, it calms me as a person. So I think maybe that's why we, you know, we could sit there for hours and draw. We were rowdy and rambunctious, and we were very mischievous, and we caused a lot of havoc in our own way. But on the other hand, like our imagination, because we put ourselves into scenarios or what ifs, or we used to dream about being like rock stars, and we're putting on concerts, and we go to the playground, and it's like the stage, and we're out in this pit. And you can imagine the parents or the people looking outside their windows, these two idiot kids, and we're pretending we got a microphone, and we're talking to like a pretend audience at like some like park where their swings are.
I don't know what kind of microphone you're using there, but
yeah, it's it's milking the cow.
This kind of brings back to being neurodiverse. You know, typically people with things like ADHD are just very creative, imaginative, and, you know, I can just kind of get lost in your own make-believe as a kid. And I think that really sums us up, right? Because like, yeah, we're, you know, kids pretending that. But I think when you and I imagined that we were putting on a live concert from the top of this wooden playground, I could see it. I could see the stadium around me and screaming fans. And I was just in it, you know? Ignoring all of the people looking out the windows at us. Like, do we call the cops? I don't know.
I don't know. Like,
they might be on drugs. I don't know.
They could be, or they should be on drugs. But I would visualize, and I'd spend hours, and I think that's when it comes back to the having ADHD or whatever. Like, you space out a lot, right? And I think a lot of that spacing out that I know you probably have done, I would like hyper visualize things that I was interested into. Like, say, for example, because I was into Star Wars, I would play like the new movie, how it should go down in my head over and over. And I'd speculate the scenarios and I would daydream about it like obsessively. You know, like, you know, I'd be at work, you know, I'd go to the bathroom and I'm thinking about this and spacing out, just, you know, the way you're back neurodivergent, like how your brain is. Uh-huh. Is that, I don't know too many people that kind of speak upon that outside of you.
And it's also just the, we're easily, I'm speaking for myself, I don't know if you're the same way, but easily bored. Like if I'm not stimulated, like my mind is, it's off doing something more interesting. But that's why. And also like during, like, I think you notice I'm always, if I'm talking on the phone, like I'm always doing shit, you know, I'm banging stuff and you're like, what the fuck is doing? I find like, you know, because right now we're having a conversation and I can see you. I don't know why, that's just way more engaging for me. But if I'm on the phone, I get bored. I don't know what it is. It's not like our conversation is boring, because it's not. But I just need to be like walking or moving or climbing shit or like doing something. I don't know what it is. That's one aspect. It's just, I have a kind of propensity to be bored easily and I just need to keep my brain doing something.
But in your defense though, like there's people you talk to, you know, when you talk to them, they're just kind of listening to, for you just to get finished. Like with you, you might be playing drums or banging or cooking or beating off, but like, you're very attentive to what we're talking
that's,
about. Like,
yeah, and if that's very what it's doing there. It's helping me focus if I'm fidgeting and doing stuff.
And I think now, you know, because I probably in the past, I think where I would get annoyed with you on that is if you called me. If I called you and I'm like, DB's doing something, I called him. So, but if you called me, I'm like, well, okay, why are you washing dishes? You called me. And the thing is, because
I get it, that, yeah.
And we're on speakerphone, yeah. And everything is heightened, right? So mm-hmm. when I'm talking, you're fiddling, so it distracts me from talking. But when you're talking, you're not doing anything. I think that's where in the past where I'd be kind of, come on, dude. I think now I feel like I'm conditioned because I talk to you on the phone. I know you're doing your thing. I kind of don't really worry about it because I'm like, well, because I know you're present in what we're talking about. Now, to talk about, I don't have the same thing as you where I have to keep busy or I get bored easy, but I'm a person, I have to be really interested in something to grasp it. So if it's a task or something, and if I'm kind of like not into it or that, I zone out so easy that I don't even understand what I'm being told. I have to be wholeheartedly interested in something to absorb it and for my brain to like memorize it and to use it in working memory. But if I don't really have really interest, it's like poof, it's out the door and it's like I can't remember.
I get that. But yeah, hey, why don't you introduce our common interest that is pretty hilarious that we are into? As kids, we were into a musical group that was not very cool for a couple of the young dudes to be into. This was more of a young girl screaming and wearing their t-shirts and buying their magazines and stuff. But we're closet NKOTB fans, and that is the New Kids on the Block.
This is kind of crazy because we grew up at the height of New Kids on the Block mania, and it was everywhere. So like at our schools, we'd see like girls and I never seen boys at my school where I went to talk that they like New Kids on the Block or wore any merchandise. It was all the girls.
No.
And I publicly would like cut them down and say, oh, they suck. Bullshit. Whoever listens to it's gay or something, you know, some shit like that. And I think you too. Yeah. But when we got together, we would listen to New Kids on the Block.
She's my cover girl. Yeah.
The right stuff. And we'd be singing along with it. And we
little spins.
I think even in part of our live concerts in the park, we pretended we were kind of like New Kids on the Block-ish kind of band. Yeah. We were like a pop group and the girls were all liking us. And it was weird because like I was very embarrassed. Like it was like our little secret but I didn't want my brother to know. No one knew that outside of you.
Oh, really?
That knew that.
Yeah, I didn't have to worry about that. Again, that was the difference. I had an older sister who was fucking obsessed with them. So
yeah.
I didn't have to worry about it. I just borrow her tapes.
Because you know the fish, he comes in, what you doing there? You know how he'd come in, because he'd always, when we were hanging out and playing, he'd always kind of interrupt what we're doing. And like, I think
make fun of us for a bit.
Like, he would come in, like, he'd pop into our room, and we'd shut off the New Kids music. And he's like, what are you guys listening to? Something. And we're trying to hide the fact that we were rocking out to New Kids on the Block.
What you got going? Is it Michael Bolton or Mariah Carey? No, it's fucking Guns N' Roses, man. Which is funny, because we're also really into hard rock.
Yeah.
You know, like, we were into Metallica and Guns N' Roses. But, we had a soft spot. And the other thing we should also mention, like the city, town, well, small city we come from, a northern town, it could be a rough town. Like for someone who is different, you know, like people were like, kids were hard on you. You could get picked on, bullied, whatever. But also this is a town where you say the wrong thing, people are just going to straight up punch you in the face.
It's a smaller northern redneck town, and also like we came also from an era where if you melted off to like a older, bigger kid, he'd beat the shit out of you, and it really wasn't nothing. Your only defense was actually fight back, because if you went to your parents or someone intervened, it would make it worse. So you kind of just either ran away from it, dealt with it, it tried to ignore it. There was nowhere to go. So you either had to handle it yourself, hand out an ass kicking, or take an ass kicking. That was just how it was. We
dealt with the exact same thing at our school. I remember that anxiety about going to school, because there was a couple guys there that were older. I don't get into details, but same exact thing. So like, you know, you can't fucking show up at school rocking a New Kids on the Block t-shirt, right? Mm-hmm. You know, or like blasting it in your Walkman or whatever.
No,
you just couldn't.
And then
you take a beating for it.
At least you had an older sister that maybe she wouldn't shame me, but I didn't even want my older sibling to know that I was rocking New Kids. And the thing is, I don't know if you did, but I was so fond of the New Kids that I would tune into their Saturday morning cartoon.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was god awful, but I was like, I like the New Kids, eh? And again, Dad would come inside, I would turn it right away. What you watching? Nature show.
Oh, again, yeah, same thing with my dad. Like I yeah. You know, would definitely not listen to that or watch their music videos in front of him. Anything I'd listen to be like, that's not Gordon Lightfoot. Shouldn't be listening to it.
yeah, if it's not Gordon Lightfoot or it's like from the 60s or 70s, they don't know.
Yeah. Probably the only thing I think we could agree on was Johnny Cash. I think that's the only common.
Though my dad got into Uncle Cracker, of all people, which is weird.
Uncle Cracker.
He even bought his CD.
Fuck off. I can't quite remember what he was about. What song did he sing?
I can't remember. He was kind of like that. He reminded me of the guy that said,
it's like kid rock genre, kind of.
Yeah, kind of kid rock genre. But you know, one day I came home, my older brother, he's a drummer, just like yourself. I'm hearing this bad, awful beat, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Go down there. Uncle Cracker's playing, and my dad's drumming. I just
fuck off.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. I wish I had a video
camera.
That
is amazing.
Yeah. And just the one song. So he went, because my dad's not really, like, he's never bought a CD in his life or a cassette. Like, he didn't even have the A-tracks.
Did he even fucking discover Uncle Cracker?
He must have seen it on the video, heard it on the radio, and he liked it so much that he went to, like, Walmart and bought his album.
That's awesome.
That's
a hilarious story about your dad that I had no idea, man.
Yeah. And hey, drumming.
Like, did he just go and like pick up the drumsticks himself, or was it like
none
your
of
brother
us
show him something?
No, he didn't show him nothing. Like, I used to play his drums without his knowledge. Like, he'd find out because the drumsticks and then the sawdust you'd leave. Or I used to clean it up. I used to vacuum it, so he didn't know. But he'd always found out, and it was never good. But yeah, Dad playing it was hilarious because, like, he's never touched the drum kit unless he was helping fix it. But just one day, he was by himself, came home from work, and he's rocking out to Uncle Cracker.
And about that beat, it must have just hooked him, you know? Like, like, I gotta play this.
And he's like, I can't listen to other stuff. He's like, the other stuff's shit, but I like this song. It's good. Yeah, he's awesome. And if you know my dad, he's like you said, your dad, Gordon Lightfoot. My dad for movies, it's like Lee Marvin, Charles Bronson, Clint Eastwood, John Wayne. Like, my dad's like, when we watch movies, he likes violent. And he's like, is there any Death Wish? Because there's the Death Wish series with Charles Bronson. Is like, I don't know if there's Death Wish. I like those movies. They're violent.
Awesome.
But yeah, on that note, this has been a fun inaugural episode of podcast, and I think if you are listening to this, and you're probably gonna get a sense that we're just gonna be a lot of things that I think you and I were gonna like to cover, talk about, and if you like this kind of stuff, I think this might be up your alley.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I kind of want to just also, you know, make this kind of like a safe space to, you know, develop a community for people who are, you know, kind of different minded. And, you know, I think we're going to kind of probably, cause another thing you and I have in common is anxiety. I think we'll probably delve into some of those, some interesting things. But yeah, I think this is just, it'd be nice to just, like I said, develop a community for people who are a little bit nerdy and kind of view the world through a different lens like you and I do. So
it may sound at times that we're kind of minimizing some of these afflictions or that, but we're kind of, you know, we're kind of dark humored people, and we also like to parody things. And yes, you take your mental health serious, but also I have fun with it. And so I like to make fun of some of the afflictions because I find it empowers. Like, some of this stuff might be, we're going to be tongue in cheek, but it's not that we don't take any of these issues serious or we're sensitive to what people are going through. It's just that we are, like we said, we're different thinking. We're a little bit twisted, but we do care about people's well-being.
Yeah. If you can look back on things and find humor in it, I think that's a great way to heal from things, no matter what it is. Like, I look back at some of my more severe health issues I've been through, and at the time they were hell and shitty to get through, but like, some of the stories that came out of them, like, are fucking bananas and hilarious. And when I tell them these days, like, people are like, oh my God, I can't believe that really happened, you know. Yeah, maybe we'll get into some of that. But yeah, I think this was a great, great first conversation, man.
Yeah, no, I had a lot of fun, and it was really good to do it. Like, yeah, I always tell you this, I've been so excited to podcast with you because, well, we actually were kids. We had our own podcast, technically.
Yeah, we've been practicing.
Yes, and there's lots of things we're going to get into, so we hope you enjoyed this, and we look forward to bringing more content to you.
Well said, Raz. You have a good one, man. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.